Welcome back to another episode of Lessons for My Kids. Today we are talking about servant leadership. Why are we talking about servant leadership? Well, because leaders don't just lead people by telling them what to do. There is a whole lot more to it. And I'm going to start out with a quote because I think that this really does set in place how servant leaders should be thinking. And it's from past president of the United States, John Quincy Adams. I know it goes back a long ways, but I found this quote on a book seller's page where he says, he has this quote from John Quincy Adams, and it says, "If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader." That's the full quote. I'm going to read it again because I think it's very telling as to who our leaders are. And, you know, if you look around you, who are the people that inspire you? Who are the people that push you to dream? So again, that quote from John Quincy Adams is, "If your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader." We are all servant leaders in a lot of ways. Because of the fact that what we do in our lives, we influence others. We may not think about it very often, but we do. Every one of us has some opportunity to be a leader. We may be training a new employee. We may be teaching our children. We may be influencing our neighbors. We may be inspiring some coworker. We may be in a church class. We could be, doing whatever, being a community leader. But we are a servant leader in so many ways. But what exactly does that mean? And so I found this infographic from Victoria Repa. She's the CEO and founder of a site called Better Me. And this really does spell out in a nice graphic what servant leadership is. And she notes it as the wisdom of leading by serving. And I think that's really a good way to put it. But she talks about what the traditional leader is. And she uses that, some of you may have seen it. People use triangles that show you, customers are at the bottom, and then employees, and then management, and then the leaders at the top. And really, when we look at that traditional leader role, the leader, it's a top-down approach. But when we're a servant leader, that inverts that triangle, meaning that the leader is actually at the bottom, and then management, and then employees, and then customers. Now, what's the difference? Well, if you are using a top-down approach, people are just, the leader is in a position to just tell you what to do. But does that really serve the organization well? Now, again, this could be a volunteer situation. This could be a team situation. This could be a classroom. You can be a servant leader anywhere. The servant leader, on the flip side of that, when we invert that pyramid, they listen more. They understand that it's not about them. They are just stewards of whatever association, organization, business that they are part of. They're there just to be the leader for a short time because, frankly, nobody lives forever. So they are the stewards, and they view their leadership as a chance to serve others. And they share that power and control to drive the engagement, as Victoria Repa says. Now, I know this isn't a visual podcast, so that might be a little bit confusing, but maybe this will help. There's characteristics that she spells out of what a servant leader actually is. And she uses 8 different words. And so I'm going to go through those and explain what she has written underneath each one. The first one she has is empowerment. It's the ability to support others in reaching their full potential. It's not about the leader, is what she's basically saying. She's saying the leader is giving the tools. They're supporting their employees. They're employing, supporting their, if they're a coach, their team. They're supporting their students if they're a teacher or a principal. You know, they're helping those people under their leadership to be better than what they are now and to reach their full potential. The next characteristic is standing back. And Victoria says, prioritizing followers, giving credit to their contributions. So instead of the leader taking credit for what you did as an employee or as a player, you know, a coach or a teacher or a CEO of a business, they only influence so much. The actual work gets done on the field, in the classroom, on the front lines of a business. And so when you do something well and you're one of the employees or the players or the students, you should give credit for that. And so the leader stands back and makes sure that, yes, they are the leader. Yes, they are giving the guidance and they should get some credit for that. But in the end, it's the workers, it's the students, it's the players who did the work that should get some of that credit. Next word is humility. We've talked about this before, and it's maintaining a modest perspective on oneself. So it's knowing that you may not be the smartest person in the room. There might be other people who have answers, which a good leader, we've talked about this before, that a good leader brings in people who have more strengths in areas that the leader may not have. So for instance, if you were the president of the United States, you would bring in somebody who might know about the economy. You might bring in somebody that knows about agriculture or education, because you can't know it all. You just can't. There are people who are very intelligent, but they need to have experts in those areas or people who know more about those areas that they don't know. And so it's the humility of saying, hey, it's okay that I don't know everything. And I'm going to make sure that I listen to the people who are doing the work, who are playing the game, who are the students or the teachers in that classroom. The next word she brings up is authenticity, being genuine and true in professional, public, and private interactions. Be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. We've talked about this before, that if you try to be somebody else, it does not go well, because down the line somewhere, your true authentic self will come out and people will see that you're not the same person that you claimed you were. Just be who you are. Be authentic. Be caring. Be kind. Show leadership. You know, give feedback. Listen to people. Be who you are. And if you don't know an answer, it's okay to say you don't know. But you better find out what that answer is, either by looking it up, researching, studying a topic, whatever it is. Try and find out about it. But be your authentic self, because it's a lot easier down the road to remember who you are versus who you were trying to be at some time in the past. Next word is courage. It's a willingness to take risks, innovate, and confront fears. Now, there are a lot of leaders that I've seen who just try to go the safe route. They're like, let's just go the status quo. Let's just, the boat's not rocking in the rough waters. Let's just keep going and we'll be okay. But a true leader tries to be visionary. They try to look to see, how can we make things better? How can we improve our product or our service for the betterment of our customers? So be willing to take those risks. Be innovative. Confront those fears. Try to get outside of that comfort zone. It's hard, and but that courage, that's a good word to use. You don't know how strong you are until you have to face it. And, you know, there are going to be things that happen in our lives where we're going to have to face our fears. Next word is accountability, holding oneself and others responsible for their actions. Hey, we're not perfect, but we also need to be held accountable for when errors happen. And we have to be held accountable when good things happen. If our boss is just taking all the credit every time, for everything we're doing, well, they're really not holding themselves accountable. What about being accountable to us for our actions and being responsible for when we mess up? You know, the boss or the leader also has a little bit of a role to play in that. But in the end, you know, we fix it and we move on and we learn from those mistakes, but we're held accountable for it. So the next word is acceptance, understanding and respecting others' perspectives. Acceptance is a pretty good one. You know, you have to accept the things that you can't change, and you have to understand that you can't change other people all the time, but you keep moving forward. You can show respect to them. Even if you don't like them, you can still show respect to them, and you accept that they are who they are and you're who you are, and you just move forward together. And you accept that you can't change everything in the world or be in control of everything in the world. The next is stewardship. A good leader practices serving the greater good of the organization or society. Again, this is where that inverted servant leader diagram really, really steps in and shows you stewardship. Because again, when we look at a teacher, they may be there for 20 or 30 years. They may be there only 5. The same with a coach, the same with a CEO of a business or a manager. Not everybody stays forever. So we are stewards of that organization for the time that we are there. And we need to treat it well. And we want to obviously grow it and make it better than it was when we got there. But we have to take care of it. And that's what stewardship is. So this brings us to how do you practice it? And Victoria Repa really does a nice job here talking about how to practice being a servant leader. And I think from my kids' standpoint, these are things that you should be learning as you go. You've been on teams, you've been in group projects, you've been part of orchestras and such. And you know, the leader, you may have been picked at one point to be a captain, or you may have been picked to be a lead in a play, or, you know, class, whatever they call it nowadays, kind of the class assistant. But being a servant leader really is about these 5 things that Victoria Repa tells us about. She says, understand employees as individuals, not just as workers. So when you get to know who the people are that you are working with, that makes a difference. I worked for a company that they early on, they knew who we were and who my team was. But the last group before I left had no idea who we were. They didn't understand our role. They didn't understand the importance of our team. Because they never got to know us. They never talked to us, which is it's very important. If you don't know who the people are, call them up, have a coffee, have, you know, lunch together, whatever. But get to know and understand who those individuals are. Discover the stressors in employees' lives. You know, there are some people, they might live in a bad neighborhood. They could be using, a poorly a car that doesn't work well. That's what I was trying to get to. Sorry about that. They may be just stressed about money. They may be trying to take care of elderly parents. Know what those stressors are. If it's work related or if it's school related, maybe it's they have a learning disability, or they maybe are in the wrong role. Maybe they went to school for the wrong things, but figure out what those are and try and help them. And then understand moments that matter in employees' lives. You know, if it's going to your kid's sports event or to a concert, those things are important. Family is an important part of work. It's an important part of school. Spending time with that family and showing that support is crucial. Showing appreciation for employees is also key. And then last is removing employee obstacles. If somebody wants to go back to school, try and figure out how to make that work. If they are needing a week off because they're stressed out, figure out how to make that work. There are a lot of things that employers and leaders can do to remove obstacles. But there was one guy who I used to listen to, his name is Simon Sinek, and he talked about leaders eating last. And what he meant by that was that the leader put the team first and made sure that everybody else on the team was tended to, and they got what they needed to do their job well. And then they, the leader made sure that once everybody was taken care of, then they were able to take care of themselves. And it kind of rolls downhill. So when you take care of other people, they take care of you. So with that, I'm going to end this podcast. I thank you for listening. To my kids, I love you. And until next time, I hope you all work well as being servant leaders. And hopefully this will work well for you somewhere down the road. If it doesn't work for you today, maybe you're an employee right now. Try and be a servant leader for those around you. It's amazing on how that will work out, because karma does come back to you when you do good things. Thanks. Take care.